Bob Russell from Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Today's Living Word message is take number 2038, Mary Waited When Misunderstood, from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and part of the sermon series, Mary, a Woman Highly Favored by God. If you'd like information about this or any other Living Word sermon series, give our toll-free number a call. It's 1-800-366-9673. That's 1-800-366-9673. Or visit livingword.org on the internet. All profits from tape sales are used to purchase radio time to spread the Living Word around the world. And now, here's Brother Bob Russell.
Mary felt so honored of all the young women in Nazareth, of all the young women in Palestine, of all the young women in the world, of all the young women in history. She had been chosen by God to be the one through whom the Messiah would enter the world. The angel Gabriel had informed her that even though she was just a peasant girl, she was going to give birth to a king. "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary was highly favored. She wasn't just touched by an angel. She was touched by the Holy Spirit of God. But now the angel had gone, and Mary was about to discover that not everyone believed her story. She was about to discover that carrying a miracle to birth can take the soul through months of discomfort, weariness, criticism, and depression. Let's follow the story carefully, because there are going to be times in your life when you are misunderstood, and there will be little that you can do but wait on the promise of God. Your circumstance will probably not be as dramatic as that of Mary's, but we can all learn from her example of godly patience. Matthew 1:19 relates Joseph's misunderstanding. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Now the Living Bible says he was a man of stern principle. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace, so he had in mind to divorce her quietly. This is one of those times which I wish the Bible gave us more information. I'd like to know what went on in the dialogue behind the scenes. Max Lucado says that reading the Bible is often like looking through a knothole in the fence. We have a glimpse of what goes on, but we don't see the big picture. So we can only imagine the discussion that took place between Joseph and Mary. Mary may have said, "Joseph, the most wonderful thing has happened to me. Last night an angel came to visit me. He told me I was chosen of God to give birth to the Messiah. I'm expecting a baby, Joseph. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful what God is going to do through us?" But Joseph couldn't imagine such a thing. He'd seen no angel. He'd never heard of a virgin birth. He didn't buy the story. Would you? "Mary, what do you mean us? Do you really expect me to believe that you're going to have a baby and there's no human father? I know it sounds preposterous, Joseph. I asked the angel the same thing, but he said nothing is impossible with God. Mary, I want to believe you, but you and I know there's only one way to have a baby, and you and I have never been together in that way. Be real. If you're expecting a baby, that means one thing. You've been unfaithful to me. I am so disappointed. I need space." And maybe Joseph turned and bolted out the door, and Mary was left in tears. And she felt the pain of rejection. She felt the sting of someone she loved doubting her integrity. She went from being on a spiritual mountaintop, being touched by an angel one minute, and then being in the pit of despair the next when she was doubted by the one she loved. And I wonder, when she told her parents later, did their expressions betray that they doubted her too? And did it suddenly hit her that if Joseph didn't believe and her parents didn't believe, certainly none of her friends in Nazareth were going to believe, and she was all alone? I wonder if that's one of the reasons that Mary went to visit Elizabeth. The angel has said that her relative Elizabeth was going to have a miracle child in her old age. Did Mary go there alone just to find somebody who would understand? Somebody who would believe? Have you ever been completely misunderstood or falsely accused? Those of you who have been through a bitter divorce, an unfair dismissal from work, a complicated bankruptcy, a sordid lawsuit, a false arrest, maybe a rebellious child. Know what it is to be misunderstood by your peers who don't have all the information. And the more you try to share the information, the more it muddies the water. But Mary was misunderstood when she was completely innocent. Have you ever been falsely accused when you were confident that you were in God's will? I went to school with a young man who felt called to ministry, but he was really disappointed because his parents, who were Christian, didn't think he should go into ministry. They wanted him to go into something more lucrative. Maybe you got engaged to a wonderful Christian young woman, but your parents don't share your enthusiasm because she comes from the wrong side of town. Or maybe you inherited a large sum of money and you plan to use it wisely and generously, but some of your relatives make catty remarks and are envious. Perhaps you adopt a child of another race and other people don't understand. Or maybe when you became a Christian, you were so filled with joy at sins forgiven and the promise of eternal life, but your former friends think you've gone off the deep end. Or maybe you changed churches because you found some place where you were fed spiritually and you're challenged to grow in Christ. But the people from your former church accuse you of just leaving for business or political purposes. It's tough to be misunderstood. About 5 years ago, my younger son came to me and said, "Dad, I need another car, and I found a great deal. I found a used Volvo with 105,000 miles on it that I can buy for $10,000. It's a great-looking car, and it's in great shape, and I could buy a less expensive car with fewer miles, but I think this will last longer. What do you think?" I said, "I think you ought to go for it." So he bought it as a great car. And several weeks later, we were in a fundraising campaign here at church, and I said, "Now, many of our young couples won't be able to give very much more than they're already giving because they're stretched to the limit. My sons are like that." And I got an unsigned note in the mail that read, "If your sons can't afford to give, why is one of them driving a brand new Volvo?" Now, that wasn't the truth. It had 105,000 miles on it. It was hard to do anything. I wanted to get up the next week and say, "Who wrote this note? Stand up." No, this isn't true. But there's nothing I could do but wait. I waited 5 years to find some place where it fit in a sermon. But time has a way of putting things in perspective. Time has a way of revealing the truth. He still has that car today, 195,000 miles, and served him well. The writer of that anonymous note has been transferred to Milwaukee and driving a Yugo stuck in the snow today. I don't know that, but I can hope. Not that I'm a vindictive person or anything. But it is hard to endure misunderstanding. But Mary wasn't misunderstood by someone she didn't know. She was misunderstood by the one she loved. Fiance. It's tough. Look back at Matthew's account and notice Mary's patience. Because Joseph had in mind to divorce her quietly, verse 20 says, "After he had considered this." How long did it take Joseph to consider all of his options? How long did he take to ponder over all the alternatives? Days, weeks, months? We don't know. We don't know how long Mary had to endure her heartbreak. Even one day would be awful. I would say probably weeks. And even after Joseph believed her, Mary had to tolerate the false accusations of others for years. But notice three things that Mary did when there was little that she could do but wait. They're the same kind of things that we can do. First, she served someone else. Luke 2:39 says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Notice, not the fetus, but the baby, 6 months developed, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child that you bear." That had to be wonderful news to Mary, because everybody else was ridiculing her and scorning her. And here was one who believed in her and blessed her. But Luke 1:56 says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. Now let me ask you women here. You go to the home of a relative who is expecting with a 6 month developed baby, and you stay 3 months. What do you do during that 3 month period? You work. You serve. Mary cooked meals, and she did dishes, and she swept floors, and she held Elizabeth's hand when John the Baptist was born, and she helped to feed and change the baby. She served and got her mind off herself. And if you are anxiously waiting for God's timing, don't just pace the floor. Don't watch hours of inane television. Don't gorge yourself from the refrigerator. Find somebody who is in need and help them. Get your mind off yourself. The Bible says, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, Jesus said, you'll find it. The second thing that Mary did was she sang. Luke 1:46 verse 55 records what the New International Version calls Mary's song. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Even for those of us who don't know much about it, music is special. It's the language of the heart. It inspires the spirit, calms the nerves, softens the heart, revives the soul. The telephone company offers a package that when a customer is put on hold, you can play music in the background, hopefully to make the time go faster. When King Saul was depressed, he hired a shepherd boy named David to play a harp and soothe his troubled spirit. When Jesus faced the pain of the cross and the agony of Gethsemane, the last thing he did before he left the upper room was to sing a hymn with the disciples. Something special about music. Norm Durner of our church received the sad news that his little grandson Travis was born with a hole in his head and most of his brains outside his body. And the doctors said that even though they could perform some drastic surgery, it was doubtful that he would live, and he would be greatly limited if he did. And Norm, who sings in our Master's Men, said he was alone in the car, and he just felt compelled to sing. And he sang, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." He said hours later, he was escorted into the intensive care unit for infants in a large hospital in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and he was so touched that a Christian nurse had placed a tiny tape recorder in the crib of that child, and the music was playing in the background, and the first song he heard was "Jesus loves the little children of the world." He said, "I just knew that God was there in a special way." Little Travis lived and is today kind of a miracle child. He's walking and communicating, and he's kind of the celebrity in his department in church. William Congreve, the 18th century writer and English dramatist, wrote, "Music hath charms to soothe the savage beast, to soften rocks or bend a knotted oak." When all she could do was wait, Mary sang a song. And then the other thing that she did, she stayed put. She stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months, and then the Bible says she returned home. That had to be hard, because by this time Mary was beginning to gain weight, and people were probably going to point fingers and make suggestions. 30 years later, when Jesus begins to declare his messiahship, some of the people said sarcastically, "We're not illegitimate children." Mary had to put up with that. But she stayed in Nazareth. When you are misunderstood, there's a strong temptation to run away. Go hide. Go to another city where you can get a fresh start, some will say. Now, sometimes that might be the right thing to do, but not usually. You can't run away from your problems. You can't run away from yourself. You can't run away from God. When Leah Zell was 17, she was raped, and she became pregnant. In her book, The Missing Piece, she relates that her alcoholic mother begged her to leave home and come back when it was all over. Lee was tempted to consider an abortion, but she had recently become a Christian, and she writes, "As I desperately searched the scripture for direction, I discovered the beautiful prayer of King David in Psalm 139. It reads, 'For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret.' Based on these verses, I knew that the baby I was carrying was infinitely valuable," she said, "and I decided that abortion was a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Surely I can find a way to go full term with this pregnancy," I thought. Even though I had not volunteered for this baby, I decided to give birth to the baby and place her up for adoption, which she did, and the baby was adopted by wonderful Christian parents. 20 years later, Lee had the wonderful opportunity of meeting her biological daughter, who immediately tried to win her to the Lord. "You already helped to lead me to Christ," she said, "20 years ago when you were born." It may be the most difficult thing in the world to stick it out, but don't run. Endure the ridicule. You will discover who your real friends are. You will discover that you are maturing through that process, and you will discover that God's grace is sufficient for you. Ecclesiastes 7:8 reads, "The end of the matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride." If you'll just be patient, in the end, God will see you through, and it will be better than the beginning. Well, Matthew 1:20 and following relates God's intervention. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" God revealed the truth to Joseph through an angel. And Joseph woke up, did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do, took Mary home as his wife, and he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and they named him Jesus. Mary was reconciled with Joseph, but she had to wait, in a sense, a lifetime. All of her life was spent on waiting for God's truth to be revealed. She waited weeks until God revealed to her fiancé in a dream that she was telling the truth. She waited months after the marriage until Jesus was born to have natural relations with her husband. She waited years in a foreign country until Herod died and it was safe to return home. Then she waited 3 decades for Jesus to assert himself as the Messiah. In fact, the first miracle that Jesus performed was at the prodding of his mother. "Do something to help these people who have no wine at their wedding," she said. And 3 years later, Mary was still waiting for Jesus to be the king. And when she stood at the cross, she must have been most perplexed about God's will. She must have remembered Simeon's prophecy, "A sword is going to pierce your soul, Mary." She couldn't have imagined it would hurt like this when her son died. But Mary waited 3 more days, and Jesus came back from the grave. She waited 40 more days, and she saw him ascend. And then she waited over another week, and she was there in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came down. And suddenly, Mary was a celebrity in the church. Everybody knew that her story was true, because she had waited patiently for God. No wonder people call her blessed. Augustine wrote, "Lord, you were guiding me as a helmsman steers a ship, but the course you steered was beyond my understanding." And Mary said, "I'm your servant. You be the helmsman." But where he steered her was much more difficult than she had imagined. Now, there's just one lesson I want you to take home with you today, and that's simply this. Sometimes, when you go through trials, the wisest course is just to wait on the intervention of God. Sometimes, when people misunderstand you, or you have personal stress, or maybe somebody dies, There's nothing you can do but wait on God. You'd like to immediately make everything right, but you can't. So there's nothing you can do but just trust that God's promise is true and one day He's going to intervene. That one day truth will be revealed and you will be vindicated. Psalm 37:34 reads, "Wait for the Lord and keep His way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it." Wait for the Lord. Tough assignment. But it has to do with trusting that His promise is true. You may have to wait 3 months, 3 years, 30 years, maybe until eternity. But wait on the Lord. I got a telephone call and a woman said, "Now, Bob, I've never met you, but I know about your church. My name is Joanne Smith, and I am a sister in Christ. I, for years, have been a volunteer chaplain at University Hospital, and I just had to call you today to tell you what a wonderful servant of Christ your associate minister, Ross Broadfuhr, is." She said, "I was here when he came to the hospital to identify his son who had been killed." She said, "I escorted him into the room where his son's body was, and he draped his body over his son and embraced him. And I heard him say the first thing, 'Oh, dear Jesus, thank you that you have saved my son. Thank you that Chris has been saved by grace. Thank you that he's with you. Thank you that he's at peace. Oh, God, no.'" She said, "I have seen people throw things and hit the wall. I've heard them curse and shove me off and say, 'Get your hands off me.' But never have I seen such a demonstration of faith in the midst of such a trial. He's so special." Folks, there will be times in your life too where there's nothing you can do. There's nowhere to turn, no way to make it right. And that's when you need to hear the voice of God. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle and fly. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint." Maybe it's all you can do is to walk and not faint right now. But don't give up. Wait on the Lord. Because in the end, we will mount up with wings as an eagle and fly again.
You have been listening to The Living Word with Brother Bob Russell from Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Today's Living Word message was tape number 2038, "Mary Waited When Misunderstood," from the sermon series, "Mary, a Woman Highly Favored by God." If you'd like information about this or any other Living Word sermon series, give our toll-free number a call. It's 1-800-366-9673. That's 1-800-366-9673. And you can now shop online at livingword.org. The Living Word is a listener-supported program. Thank you for your continued support and for remembering the Living Word in your year-end contributions. And please listen again next time for another edition of The Living Word.